Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to John chapter 8, the Gospel of John chapter number 8. I even wrote it down in my bulletin. I still didn't announce it that Brother Mike Thurman is in town. He's preaching at Currituck Bible Baptist Church. He's staying in our prophet's chamber, and I asked him to speak tonight. Normally, the week before missions conference, we have a special speaker. Hadn't been felt led to ask anybody per se yet, and Brother Thurman has been a pastor, he's been an evangelist, and also he travels to many different foreign countries spreading the gospel and being an encouragement and blessing. I know he's been to our church a number of times over the last 15 years, and since he was in town, I asked him, I prayed about and asked him to be preaching for us tonight. So make sure you come back. Like I said, he'll be here this evening. I know many of you enjoy him and are friends with him, and I think it's going to be a help and a blessing to you. So you'll be praying for him as he preaches this morning and also this afternoon up at Currituck Baptist, Iowa, Bible Baptist Church. So John chapter number 8, verse 31, we're going to start off at this week. And leading up to missions, and this week is a little bit different than any other missions conference we ever had. We always had a special speaker that went from Wednesday all the way through Sunday, and that just didn't work out this year. We believe the Lord's in control. We trust the God with all the details, and He takes care of all those things. But this week, a missions conference is one of my favorite weeks of the year because there's an emphasis put on reaching people that never been touched. But also, it should burden our hearts about us reaching out to people that we don't touch and that we don't reach out to. And so this week, I wanted to look at, we're asking you to make a decision sometime this week. Throughout this week, we ask you to prayerfully consider what you believe the Lord would have you to do when it comes to world evangelism. They've been doing Faith Promise here way before I ever got here. So each year we pass out, and some of you are brand new to this thought, so I'm kind of leading up to it, but you'll understand here in a second. We give out little Faith Promise cards, and Faith Promise cards is to make a commitment as God has laid upon your heart to make a commitment what He would have you to do when it comes to world evangelism and giving. But also, it's not just that part, but also to burden our hearts about us going too. And I know I say it all the time, and I'm sincere. I know sometimes people think it's nothing but a fundraising project. To me, it's not that. To me, it's an opportunity to seek the Lord, to hear great preaching, to hear testimonies, to see presentations, spending time and letting God, letting our eyes affect our heart and giving us a vision and a burden for what God would have us to do that upcoming year. And I know people say, well, why do I need to write down a commitment? I get it. I think the commitments are good. They help us as we let the Lord speak to our heart. We make that commitment for the rest of the year, and we give a total at the end of the year, and that way we know who we can take on and how much we have for missions. We had another wonderful year when it came to missions last year. We had another large surplus that we're going to go out and we're going to do different things with, including sending things to missionaries, and we're going to talk all about that during our business meeting, and we're excited about what the Lord's been doing here for years when it comes to missions. And you look across all these different walls, and you see the different missionaries that are represented, some that have been doing it 40-some years and that are back in the States and serving in their local churches, and some that are young, and some that have big families, and some that are just a few, and all those different things that are going on. It's an encouragement to me. And it's an important decision. And it's a decision we should be deciding each and every day. I'm going to let God speak to my heart about what I'm supposed to do when it comes to reaching out to other people. But also being faithful and as God speaks to our heart when it comes to missions. I believe that's above their tithes. It's something that we support above our tithes, and that's something that I think is important. But you have to have a clear heart to make a decision. On Wednesday night, we've been looking at Psalms 119 for a number of weeks, and the eight verses that we looked at this past week is Psalms 119, 133 was in it. It says, "Order my steps in the Lord, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." So what the Bible's saying there is not to let anything to have dominion over me, not to let anything to be governing me besides the Word of God. And once again, it starts off, order my steps in thy word. He's asking God, hey, I want you to be the one to govern me. I want you to be the one leading me. I want you to give me the answers. And once again, as I said, it's not a fundraising thing in that we try to put great pressure on. That's not my intent. My intent is for that this next week that you will actually seek God's face, as we always should be saying, God, what would you have me to do? What part do you want me to have in this? And so when it comes to that, David's saying in Psalms 119, he says, Lord, I need you to order my steps, direct my steps, lead me in the way you want me to go, and don't let any type of sin or iniquity have dominion over me, because when sin has dominion over us, you know what happens? The sin dictates what we're going to do. The sin governs where we're going to go. We love to think, hey, we can handle a little bit of sin. We like to think, hey, a little bit of sin's not going to bother me. I'm still going to stay focused. I'm still going to do. But when we allow sin into our hearts and our lives, and it becomes to a point that it becomes more important to us, that we're not willing to deal with it, more important to us than our relationship with Jesus Christ, we start thinking from that thought process than from this. Or we start thinking about how that's going to react and how that affects me. And we've made a lot of unwise decisions because of the fact that we let something else govern us besides God and His Word. So this morning, the title of the message is Sin Clouding Your Judgment? Is Sin Clouding Your Judgment? And we're going to look here. Usually we stay in one passage the whole entire time, but we're just going to look here at a story about how sin clouded the judgment of a certain group of men and how Jesus was trying to help them, and it didn't help them. They wasn't willing to let it. They weren't letting God speak to their hearts and God to change their lives. And like I said, we're probably going to go through this very quickly to get to some different thoughts here. Is sin clouding your judgment? I've heard so many people make some ridiculous statements because of the fact that they had established a principle that was unbiblical, and they had come to their own conclusion that a reasonable thinking person would have never came to, but they've let some type of sin in their heart, some type of sin in their life, make and dictate which way they were going to head. That's a dangerous place to be, and that's where these guys were. Look what it says in John chapter 8. We're going to start in verse... Actually, let's go back and start verse number 28. We'll start in verse 27. They said, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And then said Jesus unto them. Now he's speaking to a group of religious leaders and just a group of Jews. There's some that believe and some that don't. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father have taught me, I speak these things. He's talking about his resurrection and his death and his resurrection. They're going to know that they were doing the Father's will. And that he sent me, and he that sent me is with me, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do all those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So he's saying, look, if you will continue in my words, and you'll believe in the word of God, and you'll believe in me, then that's the people that are my disciples. Then some answered, it says, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thee, ye shall be made free? Now, in that verse, there's something that really sticks out there to me, and I think probably sticks out to some of you. We have a nation of Israel here that is in bondage in that moment. You think about it. What were they when they were in Egypt? They were in bondage. What were they when they got taken captured by Babylon? They were in bondage. Who's in charge right now? The Roman Empire. So they're saying, we're not in bondage. We're Abraham's seed. We're always free. And they have that in their mind, but they're seeing things through a false lens. The reality is they're not free. They need help not only physically, they also need help spiritually. Jesus was talking about the spiritual freedom that he could bring. But they're saying, hey, look, ye shall be made free. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now, many of us don't really like that verse when we're sinning. Many of us like to think, I'm not a servant of sin. I'm the servant of the Lord. But he says it right there. We like to take that verse kind of out of the Bible because sometimes we enjoy our sin. And sometimes we don't want to deal with our sins. And sometimes our sin is something that affects us and makes us cloud our judgments to where we don't want to hear truth. And that's what's happening in this time, in this moment. He's saying to them, hey, look, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. And the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And then he says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, and a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Now, he's saying, you guys... Your judgment's clouded here. You're missing the whole point. You're missing what I'm trying to say. You can be set free of the spiritual bondage. And you say you've never been in bondage, but you live in bondage physically. And also, you live in bondage spiritually. He says you can be made free. Look at their response. Then in verse 41, then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, he would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? And then he says something that's really, I guess kind of, I'm sure, made him go crazy. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a lie and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believed me not. So you sit there and you see here, Jesus, the Son of God, is having a conversation with them. And he is explaining them truth, and he's helping them understand some truth. And they just said, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to believe it. We're of Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage, but they're sitting right there living in bondage, not only physically, but also spiritual bondage. And they were struggling. And what's happening in their life is that they have sin in their heart that they don't want to deal with, and they are letting that sin cloud their judgment. I think many times, and the idea of the message tonight or this morning is, don't let sin cloud your judgment. Don't think that I can live in sin and that I'm going to also be able to have God-pleasing decisions. It doesn't happen that way. Because the Bible says, if you go back to that verse in verse number 34, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and you're going to be doing the will of your master, and who is the father there, and it's talking about to someone who does not believe in God. I understand there's a difference in that part of it, but we're living like our old father had, and if we feel like we can handle our sin, if we feel like our sin is not going to affect us, and sometimes people even justify their sin. Sometimes people even defend their sins. I've seen that. I've heard people say, oh, it's just the way I am. That's just the way I grew up. There's nothing wrong with it. Even though it clearly says in the Bible that it's wrong, and what they've done is they put themselves in a servitude to sin. But the Bible says that we don't have to let sin have dominion over us. Romans chapter 6 puts it this way, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So when we allow sin into our heart, We allow sin to cloud our judgment. So, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that this week the goal is that we seek God's face and ask God, what is it that you would have me to do when it comes to world evangelism? What is it that you want me to do, Lord? I'm a willing servant. But you think about what it says in Romans 12, too. It says, and be not conformed to this world. And I want to make sure I don't misquote it there. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there is a way to know and understand the will of God. There is a way to come over here and say, look, I want to know and understand the perfect will of God in my life. How does that happen? It happens when I'm not conformed to this world, but I'm conformed to this book. It happens when I'm renewing my mind in this book instead of renewing my mind in this world. And when sin is evident and sin is present and continues to stay present in our lives, it begins to cloud our judgments, and we begin to make decisions that really aren't scriptural. We begin to make decisions on our own. We begin to make decisions based off of how we feel because we're allowing the sin to remain, and we begin to make decisions based off of those desires that sin is giving us because we become servants to that sin. Think about bad decisions made because of sin. Think about some bad decisions that were made because of sin. I began thinking about some of them, and there's a whole long list, and there's many more than this, but there's a number. We'll go through them quickly. Think about the 10 spies that brought the evil report. Their sin was they were afraid. They didn't trust the Lord. They allow seeing the giants. They allow seeing the wall cities, all those things. They allow fear to enter into their heart and unbelief. And because of that, what happened? They let that cloud their judgment. They let that determine their opinion. You cannot let sin determine where you're going to head and where you're going to go. And that's why I'm encouraging today. Slay that giant we talked about a few weeks ago. Deal with the sin that's in your heart and deal with the sin that's in your life so you can be thinking scripturally and biblically, because it's not going to happen when you're serving sin. You think about Achan. A similar story later on about Jericho. He allowed his greed to cloud his judgment. He allowed his greed to look at those Babylonian garments and all that stuff he stole. And what did it do? It hurt him and hurt his family. You think about Ananias and Sapphira. I believe that they saw the praise that some of the people were giving by giving the land, and they went and they lied to God. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to the people. It's because of the fact they wanted to be praised by people and they wanted to fit in. They want everybody to get excited about them. They let that sin cloud their judgment, and they went and sinned. Think about David. Did not take his responsibility seriously when he was supposed to be out at battle, as when the kings went to a time of war. And what happens? He sees Bathsheba there. He sees Bathsheba and he commits adultery and ends up committing murder. All those things happen. Why is that? Because he's not dealing with the things that are in his heart, and things begin to cloud his judgment. I think about Rebecca and the story how she tricked her husband and used her son to trick her husband and get the birthright, and not only get the birthright but also get the blessing. What happened there? She didn't trust the Lord. She didn't say, I believe God is going to make Jacob the person that's going to be in charge because of what the angel had told her. No, he says, I don't think God can handle this. So because God can't handle this, I need to turn to deceitful, untrustworthy ways. So where is that? Was she trying to do what was right? Was she trying to do what she thought was good? She was. In her heart and her mind, she felt like it had to happen this way. What was causing that? It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was causing her lack of faith. Her lack of faith was causing her to have her judgment clouded. Think about Jonah. He allowed his hate for another group of people and make his decisions. I'm not going back. I'm not going to Nineveh. No way. That's crazy. Those people are crazy there. They deserve the judgment of God. And what happens? He goes, did God tell him to do that? No. God told him to go. What did he say? No. So why would he say no? Something is clouding his judgment. So what's clouding his judgment? His hate. Not only his hate, I believe Jonah was probably a prophet of God, and Jonah probably said, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And God says, okay, I want you to go to Nineveh. Showed him that he really wasn't as committed as he thought he was. And that sin that's in his heart and his life is clouding his judgment. I can't do that. I think about King Saul had one of the greatest opportunities mentioned in all the Bible to be the first king of Israel. His jealousy allowed him not only to waste his time as king, but also to become a crazy man. And he ends up losing his life and also his son's life. You think about it, Nebuchadnezzar and his pride. If you go through Daniel, we're going to look a little bit about Daniel for a second here. You think about Daniel's story. Nebuchadnezzar saw miracle after miracle after miracle. And he had dream, vision, all these things. Chapter number 4, he has another dream or a vision. Daniel interprets it, tells him to get right, and what does Nebuchadnezzar do? No, I built this kingdom. I've done this. His sin of pride clouds his judgment. He has been on his face in Daniel chapter number 2 and Daniel chapter number 3 saying there is only one God, the one true God, all those different things. But he didn't really have that relationship there. He knew there was a God, but he didn't. And I think he gets it right in Daniel chapter 4. But what he has to become, have the heart of it as a beast. Why is that? He has allowed a sin to come into his heart, into his life, that's clouding his judgment. I know what you could say, well, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't a believer at that time, or King Saul, we don't really know if he truly ever had faith or belief. You can make your arguments whatever way you want. But the idea is sin clouds our judgment. Let me use an example modern day for us. Believers have allowed a sin of not telling other people about Jesus Christ cloud their judgment when it comes to the responsibility of the Great Commission. It's the reality is many people do not tell. Many people do not go, even though it's clearly found in the Bible. Why is that? It's because they've disobeyed God and they've clouded their judgment to the point that, is it really my responsibility? Even though we hear preaching and teaching about it, even though we have missions conference that try to encourage our heart, it's the answer is yes, it is our responsibility. But many of us have set that aside. If he tells us to do something, we don't do it. That's disobedience. And the Sunday school lessons that some of our classes are going through, I know not all of them, I found it interesting when they said, and I think this is what they were saying, that in the ages of 18 to 35, that evangelicals, that 50% of them believe it's wrong to share your faith with somebody else. That is just crazy. They don't have a problem with the pastor doing. They don't have the problem with somebody else doing it. But as a quote that as I was studying through that, they don't feel like it's right for a person to share their faith with someone else. And we cringe at that thought. But you know what has happened? The sin has become clouding their judgment in their mind. And it says, well, just because I don't feel comfortable, that means I shouldn't have to do it. And the Bible says here in John chapter number 8, verse 34, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. We don't like that, but the reality is we're serving sin if we do not deal with this sin. Another thing I want you to think is not only bad decisions made because of sin, I want you to think about this, is make your decision now. You know when you make a decision to serve the Lord? Now. You don't wait till there's an issue or a problem or something going on. You wait till that moment in time. No, you make the commitment when you're hearing Bible teaching, when you're listening to God speak. I think about the story of Daniel. And I love the story of Daniel. You think about it, Daniel is taken from his king, his own, he's a slave. He's taken from his land, taken to Babylon. They're going to try to make him a Babylonian. They give him a Babylonian name. They give him Babylonian worship, all those different things. But it says in Daniel chapter number 1, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So Daniel makes a decision. He makes this decision and he says, hey, I'm not going to defile myself. I made the decision ahead of time. I remember as a high school student or junior high student, there was a guy named Mr. Lingle there. Mr. Lingle was my history teacher 1 year and then he was my gym teacher 1 year. He was only there 2 years. He preached a sermon one time in Daniel chapter 1 and he did a great job of all the different things I remember about Mr. Lingle. He was, He preached this message in Daniel chapter number 1. And he said to the young people, if you think it's wrong to drink, make a commitment to God right now. You're never going to drink. And he used like 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7 different things. And he says, determine in your heart that these are things. And that day I made a commitment. That day I made a commitment about 7 or 8 different things. And I'm thankful that I can say I never drank alcohol. I've never smoked. There was a list of different things. And I'm not ashamed of that. There are some things on that list I failed at. And I messed up and I had to ask for forgiveness for. But you determine now in your heart that, hey, I'm going to have with the right heart, with the right mindset, without dealing with sin. I've dealt with the sin. Now, God, what is it you want me to do? Daniel purposed in his heart. And you see later on things that happen, like in Daniel chapter number 3, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they also purposed in their heart that when they were there and they were facing that giant idol or that giant statue, whatever you want to call it, it says that everybody else bowed down, that everybody else was on their face, but those three stood up. Why is that? Do you think they made that decision in that moment? I don't think so. I believe that they had, if they're hearing about somebody making a, I believe it was 90-foot tall statue, that wouldn't have happened overnight. That wouldn't have been a surprise. That would have been something they had to determine ahead of time. I don't care what anybody else is going to do. I'm not going to bow down to that idol, because that idol is something that God told me not to bow down to. Now, amongst all those different people that were in charge, and all the governors and all the different people that were in charge of the principalities or the municipal things, I'm sure there was Jewish people there. I'm sure that they had taken many over. It wasn't just Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that would have had the opportunity. We don't know. Daniel's not even mentioned in the story. But I bet you amongst that group, there's some Jewish people there. And what are they doing? They're there, and they're bowing down because they were afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. They had let sin cloud their judgment. But you got three young men that says, we're not careful to answer you according to this matter. And Nebuchadnezzar says, which God's going to be able to deliver you out of my hand? And they says, our God is able. And if he chooses to, and this isn't, I know, a perfect quote, but he says, if he chooses to deliver us, great. If he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to that idol because we know it's wrong. How did it happen? They predetermined that they were going to do what's right. Then you get to Daniel chapter number 6, and he's threatened with the lions then. And what does it say in Daniel chapter number 6? It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what was the writing? The writing was, if you worship anyone else besides the king, if you pray to anyone else besides the king, you're thrown into the lion's den. He says, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. He says, as he did aforetime. I love that last phrase, and I'm so glad it was in there, because it says, as he did aforetime. He didn't make the decision once the thing was signed. He had made the decision many years ago. I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. I'm going to purpose in my heart to live for the Lord. And I'm going to continue on praying. And I'm not just going to open up the windows to show off and be defiant and be rebellious to the king. No, this is what I do. And there is a king that I serve that's greater than Nebuchadnezzar. There's a king that I serve that's greater than Darius. There's a king that I serve, and that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He comes to this moment and he says, hey, this is something that I have determined in my heart. I have purposed in my heart. But here's the challenge. When we allow sin into our hearts and into our lives, it begins to cloud our judgments. There were many who bowed, many who did not pray, at least not out in public. And I want to encourage you today, don't let sin have dominion over you. You say, Pastor, of course sin doesn't have dominion over me. Well, take your Bibles to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6 is a great chapter of the Bible to memorize. It has so much richness and deepness about how we are free and we're set free from sin, and that we're not a servant of sin anymore, and that we can live a victorious Christian life. Romans chapter number 6, once again, reminds us of some different things. We'll go ahead and start in verse number 11, and we have to read through it quickly, I understand. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 6, look at verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So if you let sin reign in your heart, and you let sin reign in your life, then you know what's going to happen? You're going to obey it. Yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. And look what it says in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not, now listen to this verse, know ye not to whom you yield yourself, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Now it's saying up here in verse 13, you have an opportunity to yield your bodies to members of righteousness or unrighteousness. And they're saying that whoever you're serving at the moment, you're yielding yourself either to sin or unto obedience. And that's what I'm trying to get to, and hopefully you're understanding there is a need in this world. there is a great need. In John chapter number 8, they were lost. They didn't understand. They didn't see that Christ was the Messiah. They didn't want to believe that. They said, we're not in bondage. We don't have a need. But the Bible tells us that we're all sinners and we're all in need of a Savior. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Unless a person is willing to repent and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they are going to spend eternity in a horrible place called hell. But they have lots of times people have allowed sin and false doctrine and other things to come into their heart, into their life, and they're like those Pharisees or those Jews or those religious leaders. And John chapter 8 says, we don't have any problem. We don't have any bondage. And they were in physical bondage and they were in spiritual bondage and they couldn't see it and they couldn't understand it. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a need. And that need is because you're a sinner. You're in need of a Savior. But thankfully, praise the Lord that Jesus Christ came into this world, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, because your sin problem must be dealt with. And the only way your sin problem can be dealt with in a way that's going to appease or accept it in God's way is Jesus Christ dying on that cross. And if God speaks to your heart and convicts your heart about sin and then show that you're in need of a Savior, the Bible says that you can cry out to him and ask him to save you. Praise the Lord for that. We're thankful for that. There is a great need that's there. Now, as a Christian and as a believer, if you're here in this room, you're saying, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. God convicted me in my heart and I cried out to him. I asked him, I'm a Savior. I'm on my way to heaven. Do you have a clear mind when it comes to making important decisions? Because I see a lot of people struggle. I've seen it in my own life. I'm not perfect. I've never been. I've never said I was. And I know that when I'm dabbling or if I'm doing something that I know I shouldn't be doing and I'm trying to make decisions for the church or for my family, that my mindset's clouded. I don't want to be. I'll cry out to God. God, please give me wisdom. Give me direction here. But I'll continue on in that sin. You know what I'm doing? I'm serving that sin. God's not going to hear that prayer. God says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he's just not going to hear me. So my encouragement to start off missions conference for you on Wednesday night, or Brother Thurman preaches on missions tonight, make sure your heart's right. Make sure you're not allowing sin to control or to govern you. So sin doesn't really have control over me. Well, it says right here in verse number 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. It happens. If you have had a sin in your heart and your life that you know is there and you do not want to do something about it and you do not want to deal with it, your judgment is going to be clouded because the Bible says you are a servant to that sin. And the Bible says that you're going to obey it and the lust thereof in verse number 12. So it comes down to all this. We need the right mind to make the right decision when it comes to all types of things. But when it comes to missions, it's worth getting our hearts right to say, God, I want to hear from you when it comes to it. I don't want to base my decision off what my checkbook says. I don't want to base my decision off what some preacher says, some guy I might not see for another 4 years says. I want to hear from you. And the only way I'm going to be able to hear from you is if I make sure my heart's clean. I want to make sure my heart's right. I don't want to be like the 10 spies that go out and have fear and say, we can't fight. We can't do this. I don't want to let my greed get in the way like Achan and I get punished for that. I don't want to let my jealousy like Saul that ruin the opportunity I have. I don't want to let my lack of faith and lack of trust in God and try to manipulate people like Rebecca and Jacob did and manipulate the situation to make things turn out the way I wanted to. It shouldn't turn out the way you wanted to if you got sin in your heart. You don't want that. You shouldn't be trying to manipulate people or trying to get things the way you want it done when you know there's something in your life you should deal with. Maybe you should take a step back and say, hey, maybe I shouldn't make that decision right now until my heart is right. And in Proverbs, there was a verse as I was studying I came to, and in Proverbs, let me get to this. Of course, it's not where I want it to be, right? In Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 3, I think, but I don't see it here. So let's go to Proverbs chapter number 11. And let's just hope I'm right. Proverbs chapter 11, there it is in verse number 3. It says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. The integrity of the upright. will guide them. If you are right with the Lord, he will lead you and he will guide you. He will give you direction. He will speak to your heart. But the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. That means if we are transgressing, it will give us a perverse thought. And once again, it might look right on the outside. It may make sense to us, but it cannot make sense to us if we allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies. We must be willing to lay things down and say, God, I need to hear from you clearly, and I cannot let this govern me. I cannot let this direct me. I cannot let this iniquity have dominion over me. Like the psalmist said in Psalms 119, we learned about in 133, order my steps in thy word and let not iniquity have dominion over me. God, I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want you to help me make the decisions. I don't want this sin to cloud my judgment because I can't make the right decision because I have sin in my heart and my life. Think about what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll probably be done with this. Proverbs chapter number 3 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. I know we've looked at that verse many, many times, but the reality is if we will trust in him, not with just part of our heart, all of our heart, if we won't lean into our own understandings, if we will acknowledge him in every area of our life, he has promised that he will direct our paths. He will give us what we need. He'll not allow something cloud our judgment because we've acknowledged him in every area of life, and with all of our heart, we've leaned to him. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, not the steps of a man that's living with sin. And I want my steps to be ordered by the Lord. And when I get excited about hearing from God during missions time, I want my mind to be clear, my heart to be clear. I want it to be all year round. You know, you say, Pastor, you're a pastor. You better not be messing with sins. You better not be making decisions and better not be distracting. You better, I get that. And I know I'm the one that has to stand accountable for that. But we all, as believers, have responsibilities. We all have positions. Like last Sunday night, we talked about, and it was a little bit of a hard message, and the idea that, hey, I have my own responsibility. I need to take it seriously. I need to make sure that I am scripturally right when I'm doing, and I need to make sure that I'm serious about it, and I need to be steadfast about it, and I need to be serving about it. And all those different things God has given us a ministry to do, now we should take it seriously. And we should make sure. And how do we do that? We make sure our heart's right. So today, is your heart right? You say, Pastor, I can make these decisions. I'm glad you could think you can. In John chapter 8, those guys thought they were good. They thought, I'm not in bondage. Well, why is all those Roman soldiers around you if you're not in bondage? Why are you doing all those wicked things and in the name of the Lord, and you know it's not right inside? And whited sepulchers, all those things inside. You have so many problems, so many issues. We're good. They've let sin cloud their judgments. Is there something in our hearts and lives that's clouded our judgments today? Is there something we need to lay on the altar and say, I want to make sure I'm right because I want to make the right decision? Not just when it comes to world evangelism. I want to make the right decision day after day. But this thing of letting God speak to my heart during missions conference is a big thing. So I want to make sure that it's right. And I know there's something maybe in my heart. I know there's something I need to give over. There's something I've been kind of dragging along that I must deal with. Remember, the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Are your steps being ordered by the Lord? What are ordering your steps? Is it a family member? Is it a sin? Is it a situation? Is it a circumstance? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So this morning, I pray that you let God speak to your heart. And I pray you get to this moment in time to understand if you sin, that sin has dominion over you. It will help cloud your judgment, and you don't need it. You need a clear heart and a clear mind to hear from the Lord so you can respond and make a difference in this world. If you're here today and you say, I've never asked Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm not sure if I died today that I would go to heaven or go to hell, I would love for you to come forward and let somebody take a Bible and show you how we are all sinners and we're all in need of a Savior and what it might means to be accept Jesus Christ or to ask Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. God is good. He wants to help you. He wants to lead you. He wants to direct you. But we must deal with the sin for him to be able to give us the direction he wants to give us. Let's pray.